This is a new day for New York 19.
Where is the good officers at? If 11 of them is no damn good, we want to know where the good ones at.
I believe the goal is beating Donald Trump.
Watch your
tongue. What do you mean? She just called me names.
So I don't give a f-
she spoke the truth. Whoa, look at that. There's a beaver 5 feet from us. Usually they whack their tails on the water and try to scare you off. That was a pretty brave beaver.
We've learned some tough lessons, and those lessons are we have to hold people accountable.
Hey there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. On this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we're covering a change atop the New York State Republican Committee and the rollout of police body cameras in Troy, New York. But first, former one-term Congressman John Faso says he will not run for New York's 19th House District seat in 2020. The 66-year-old Republican was defeated by Democrat Antonio Delgado in 2018 after a bitter campaign. Faso says family and professional obligations will keep him from seeking a rematch. Faso succeeded Representative Chris Gibson in 2016 and was considered one of the top Republican threats to Delgado's likely re-election bid. He spoke on WAMC's Congressional Corner just after losing the 2018 race.
I had said back in the summer to my family that if we had lost 20 seats in the House, I would likely survive, and if we lost 40, I likely wouldn't.
New York 19 was considered a swing district when Delgado won in the blue wave of 2018. Now a WAMC commentator, Faso previously served as New York State Assembly Minority Leader and ran for governor in 2006. Well, after a decade, Ed Cox is out as chair of the New York State Republican Committee. Cox, the son-in-law of President Richard Nixon, will join the Trump 2020 campaign after Erie County Republican Chair Nick Langworthy secured enough support to take over state leadership. Republicans have not won a statewide election in New York since 2002, one of the reasons local leaders sought the change. Schenectady County GOP Chair Chris Ketsley, also the Glenville town supervisor, supported the change, citing Langworthy's upstate roots.
Well, I wasn't surprised, but I am pleased. I was an early supporter of Nick. Nick and I had some very good discussions about the direction he wants to take the party, and I think we both agreed there was time for a change, and I thought Nick was the man to lead us in a new direction.
What are some of the changes you would like to see and that you think Nick Langworthy represents?
Well, I think he's focused on a few things that are important. Number one is voter enrollment, you know, making sure that in a state like New York, we start getting our message out, so that we start building the party again from the grassroots up. I think that was important, you know, making sure that we focus on our grassroots effort, which I don't think has happened in the past. I think he's talked about reaching out to new groups and new voter blocks, like the younger voter, really trying to find a way to attract more new voters, younger voters just registering. So those are some of the things that, you know, he and I had good conversations on, and his ideas resonated with me.
Why do you think Ed Cox lost the support of enough county Republican leaders to have to hand off control here?
You know, from talking to my colleagues in the upstate region, I think, you know, the losses that we've occurred, you know, have occurred over the last many years, dozen years or so. Losing nine Senate seats in the New York State Senate was probably a devastating blow to the confidence of his leadership. And I think that people are just looking for something new and more in line with the values of the Republican Party as they are today.
It may be a bit of a different story in upstate, but aren't the numbers just against Republicans in New York State? I mean, it's been pretty reliably blue, at least in the presidential years.
Oh, there's no question about it. And I think that's why we need to start doing some things differently, as Nick has talked about, and really start reaching new voters and different blocks of voters. But you're absolutely right. The numbers are very much against us, but we need to change that. We can't just accept that.
Do you think that there's still room for the idea of a Rockefeller Republican, which, of course, the term has its roots here in New York, based on the way the party has changed the last few years?
Yeah, I think in New York, certainly you have to look at that type of brand of Republicanism. But I also think that there's, since the Democrats have overreached once they got the Senate and now control every level of government, I think people are starting to look back to the Republicans for a more moderate and kind of a counter voice to what we're seeing in Albany today.
Let me get a local question in as well. Gary McCarthy is up for re-election, the mayor of Schenectady, a longtime Democratic leader. Do the Republicans have a plan to run someone against him?
No, not this year. One of the things this year with what's changed is they moved the calendar up on everybody this year out of the blue. So instead of having until June typically to find candidates, we had from January to February to find candidates, and that just made it that much more difficult. So this year, there is not a mayoral candidate in Schenectady against Gary.
Amid a measles outbreak in Rockland County, New York, County Executive Ed Day has written to President Trump requesting federal government intervention. The Republican requests that the president issue an executive order or that laws be passed to require visitors from other countries present certifications of immunization before being allowed entry into the U.S. Day writes that Rockland County and 23 states suffering from measles outbreaks need the president's help. Rockland's outbreak began in October when 7 travelers from overseas visited while they were infected with measles. There are now 233 confirmed cases of measles in the county, with many more unreported. And finally, the Troy Police Department is set to begin testing body-worn cameras next month. WAMC's Capital Region Bureau Chief Dave Lucas reports.
Troy will soon join Albany and Schenectady by deploying a body-worn camera program for the entire police department. During a 60-day pilot program, a small number of officers will wear the cameras to help determine next steps. Mayor Patrick Madden says the program is part of the police department's ongoing modernization. The Democrat says the decision to begin implementing the devices came after department leaders, working with some rank-and-file members, developed a test strategy.
We looked at a lot of other cities that have policies and chose what we felt would work for us and tinkered with it. So they did a great job putting together a policy. It's a draft at this point in time. They also looked at a couple of different manufacturers when it comes to body cams. Each one is a little bit different, so they picked the two that felt they were most likely to be what we needed and wanted, and they're going to pilot those two manufacturers' products and services for a period of some time, up to 60 days, and then they'll make a determination which camera is best, and did the policy work, do they need to tweak or change the policy in any fashion. It's a trial run.
Mentioning Chief Brian Owens, Deputy Chief Dan DeWolf describes developing a pilot policy as a work in progress.
We've worked with members of the PBA as well as command staff and myself and Chief Owens, and we've come to a good agreement on what we think would be a good policy, and we found a couple of good vendors, Axon and Panasonic.
The Albany Police Department has used the Axon body camera system since 2017. Schenectady Police recently began wearing a Panasonic model. Troy City Councilor David Besember, a Democrat, chairs the Public Safety Committee. He says body cams will enhance police accountability and transparency.
We need to take a deeper look into the questions about storage and access. This is something that was recommended by the Attorney General's office, and I look forward to seeing what's going to work with the pilot program, what the tweaks are.
Republican City Council President Carmela Mantello is pleased the program is moving forward.
I proposed about 3 years ago when I had first won the council presidency to begin trying to seek grant money, et cetera, for body cams for our police officers. I believe it's a real win-win, not just for our police officers, but our community as a whole.
DeWolf says the department was awarded funding through the New York State Office of the Attorney General's CAMS program in 2018 to purchase body-worn cameras.
Originally, these are going to be on uniformed officers, and then, you know, there may also be a time when we have them on our detective unit, or there's an application for our SWAT team as well that would be more like a helmet-mounted camera rather than a chest-mounted camera. We're just really in the infancy stages of taking a look at how it's going to work here.
In April, an Albany police officer was arrested and two others were suspended following the release of body cam video of a March encounter with First Street residents that turned violent. Dave Lucas, WAMC News.
Well, that does it for this edition of the WAMC News podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast, and we'll take some 5-star ratings, too. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.